Mom's Movement Radio. Mom's Movement Radio. Welcome to Mom's Movement Radio Show. I'm your host, Janae Eisenstrauss. I would love to thank all of you for tuning in and listening to our show today. As always, I will be speaking to moms all over the world about their business, love, and lifestyle, bringing you inspiration, motivation, by always aspiring to keep you informed, inspired, and incredibly successful. We have a great show planned for all of you today. When we return, we will be talking about transitioning from employee to CEO. Are you a woman who is serious about starting an online business that will allow you to create sustainable wealth and growth? Well, we've done the research. Let us introduce you to some of the best business professionals that have researched numerous business concepts and provide you with great free advice for developing a sustainable business online. Visit us at womensbusinesssourceonline.com. As I mentioned before the break, today's topic is about transitioning from employee to CEO. It's true, working at home gives you a kind of freedom. Your time becomes your own. But the lack of structure can also be a problem for some people, especially when you first make the transition from employee to self-employed. Here are a few tips to keep you on point while working at home. First, prepare for unpredictable working hours. If you have been used to following a work schedule, you better be ready for long, irregular hours. This includes working during odd hours and losing some sleep. While you may be free to set your own working hours, you may have to spend some time meeting clients during the day. If you intend on having an online business, it would mean you have to monitor your websites 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Okay, and that also depends on the type of online business that you have. As your target market is the internet, users all over the world, you have to adjust to the time differences. You may have to deal with a client that is just starting his or her day while you are getting ready for your bedtime. I can relate to having employees from Toronto to Tokyo. So what you do is that you hire people that, whether customer service or assistance in that time zone, so that way they can offset your clients at that time. In addition, you have to make yourself available to help clients and customers anytime they need you. Yes, it could mean erratic sleeping hours too. You may find it a bit difficult in the beginning stages of your business, but you'll get used to it. As you stay longer in the online business, you will find out different techniques to cope with your clients and efficient ways to manage your time effectively. Secondly, be willing to do more tasks. Perhaps when you were still an employee, you are assigned to a specific task. Thus, you perform that one task every working day. There are also other members of the workforce who will be doing another job. When you become an entrepreneur, you have to be willing to do different tasks, if not all the tasks. And trust me, I remember in the beginning stages of my business, it was just me. It wasn't me and 30 plus other people. It was just good old me. And I had to learn how to do website design and layout, content writing, bookkeeping and accounting monitoring. Being a previous management consultant, the bookkeeping and the infrastructure of developing the business was the easy part for me. But I'm not a graphic designer. I'm not a web designer. So I had to teach myself how to do all of those things. And of course, if you have capital that's big enough, you can hire people to do those things for you. But if not, you can always do things on your own. All you need is the willingness to learn how to do those things and have the patience to accomplish the task. Thirdly, start networking and building partnerships. If your social life was limited to workmates and neighbors, now that you are planning on becoming an entrepreneur, you will need to be friends with as many people as you can. And I think you know why. Your network will help you achieve your goals and objectives. For example, you want to establish an online business. You need as many people to visit your website, also to promote it. So ask your family and friends to provide you with free advertisement. Ask them to introduce you to as many people that you know who would be interested in your product or service. Also, you can sign up for social networking sites such as Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn to advertise and promote your product or service. Remember, the more people who know about your online business, the more chances you have at closing a deal. You need to mingle and socialize to make people aware of your business. And you can do that online. You need to be more active in forums, blogging, to promote your products and services, and to meet new people who will be interested in the services that you have to offer. Lastly, prepare yourself for the task ahead. As I've said, the transition from being an employee to an entrepreneur can be a tough road ahead. You have to prepare yourself for the challenges that await you. 1. Start attending workshops, trainings, and seminars that are related to your chosen business. 2. If you can afford to take short courses on basic accounting and business management, this will help you in managing your business and finances. 3. Seek the advice of people who have been in business and know how they become successful. While they may not tell you their formula for success, you can learn a thing or two from their experiences. All these should prepare you as you change from being an employee to being an entrepreneur. A word of caution, do not put all your eggs in one basket. Always have a fallback plan and option in case your first venture into entrepreneurship does not succeed. Hopefully these points were beneficial to all of you listening today. Now let's get started on our show. On today's show, we have Cheryl McNeil. She is the founder and CEO of GC Learning Services and author of the book, Black Child to Black Woman. When we return, we will have a nice little chit-chat with Cheryl about her business, love, and lifestyle. Life Masters Now Success Coaching was designed to provide you with the necessary resources for you to master your life right now. We can show you how to make transformational changes in your life and business. Let us teach you how to move forward in progression, prosperity, and power. Visit us at lifemastersnow.com. And we're back. I'm so excited to introduce our guest, Cheryl McNeil. As I said it before, she is the CEO and founder of GC Learning Services, LLC. Hello, Cheryl.
Good morning.
Oh, it's such a pleasure to have you on our show today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Great. Well, you know, we're going to get into talking to you about your business, love, and lifestyle. And I know that you have this learning services. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your company?
Absolutely. Well, this is my 16th year as an instructional designer. Wow. And what my company does is develop training materials and e-learning modules for corporate America. Corporate America sometimes does not have a training department, training and development, and so they outsource. And when they outsource, that's a good thing for me because this is where they come, right to the contractors.
Well, this is it. And why don't you tell us what exactly is, so when you go in there, what are you teaching them? Is it dependent on what they want from you or?
You know, it's all writing, and that's what I love to do. I actually write the actual training course for software applications, soft skills. It could be customer service training. And they actually need the written copy materials for the classroom. And at times they're looking for what they call e-learning modules, which are self-paced modules that an employee can do at their desk.
Wow.
And just go through the material on their own and do the activities. And I actually develop those videos with audio and graphics and Flash. It's very exciting. It's very creative. It's a lot of fun. And, you know, I really enjoy what I do.
Is this what you were doing when you were working in corporate?
I actually was doing the actual stand-up training. And at times I was writing the user guides and training materials for specific IT projects. But when I branched off on my own, it became a whole nother animal. So I really expanded into this whole new world of e-learning.
Great. So what made you want to go off on your own?
Well, I guess in corporate America, my type of, I don't want to say a personality trait, I guess work ethic, it's not a good mesh for people like me. So number one, I am a perfectionist. Number two, I work very quickly.
You're speaking to the choir.
Yes. And Number three, I like money. I like to advance, and I like to move up. And so that's very difficult in corporate America, where there's politics and people are bringing in their nieces and nephews that have, you know, no experience or education, just to get them in, and you get overlooked for promotions. And then people, of course, get intimidated at times when you work at such a fast pace, thinking that you're trying to, you know, steal their position.
Well, so. That's true. And I don't know about you, Cheryl. I really don't know about you, but I was an African-American woman being out of, like, a corporation of 10,000 people, being the only African-American in management, upper level management.
Yes.
So
very difficult.
Yeah, it's very difficult. So you can't just be good. You have to be the best.
You all have to be the best at everything. Yeah. Yes. And I have to say that the accommodations that were made for, you know, other women who were not of my nationality, for example, when they had, you know, childcare issues and so forth, were definitely much higher than, you know, what I was allowed.
Wow.
You know, when I had an emergency with my little one, I had to pick her up from school because she was sick or whatever. They would make comments to me like, can't you call a neighbor or a friend to go get her, you know?
Yeah, you know, and it's sad that that level of preference and that goes on, and people think in, it's different. I'm Canadian and I'm in Canada, and I know that they think that it doesn't exist, that level of, whether it be racism, bigotry, or preference, doesn't exist in corporate America. We're in North America. We're a tolerant society.
Yes.
And they think it's just Americans. Yeah. It exists everywhere. It exists everywhere. And the difference, I would say, with Americans is that Americans at least are forthcoming with their behavior, whereas, you know, here in Canada, there's that silent undertone. But
that's right.
That's a, for another conversation. That's not the focus of this. We're here to talk about your business, not the politics of corporate America. So how long did it take for you, when you decided to transition, how long did it take for you to develop your company?
Well, actually, for a year before I left corporate America, I had been working at night with a specific list of clients. And so by the time I was ready to leave, I had built a client base that was enough to keep me sustained, you know, full time.
Good. Very good. So it obviously, how long did you work corporately again?
Oh, goodness. I have to calculate my age, I guess.
No, you're not going to share your age unless you're comfortable with that. But
I graduated.
Look at.
Yeah, I know. I graduated. Well, gosh, I was in corporate America way before college. So I guess it would be maybe about 6 or 7 years.
6 or 7 years corporately, and then 16 years.
Full time. Yeah.
Working on your, well, that's great. You've definitely proven that you can keep a sustainable business. And obviously, I'm assuming that you love money and you're doing very well for yourself, I hope.
Yes, you have. You definitely have to hustle.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be a hustler.
That's right, baby. Just like Ricky Ross says, every day I'm hustling.
You definitely have to hustle every day. You can never just be sitting doing nothing. Every day you have to market, regardless of whether business is booming or not.
Right, right. So, and a lot of people don't get that concept. They look at women like you and I that have built businesses, and they think, well, she's doing really well, and, you know, everything just poof, it happens. No, it doesn't happen that way. It takes years of, and for some people, it could take years of just nothing is happening, you know, or you're just breaking even, or you're just doing just enough to get by.
Yes.
And you still have to market. You just have to, that's, and you may not even be able to pay yourself.
Exactly. And I mean, it took at least for me 4.5 to 5 years to really have, you know, steady business and steady clients that continue to come back year after year.
That's awesome. I'm so happy for you. I am so happy for you, Cheryl. What would you say to a woman who wants to get into the type of industry that you're in? And what is that industry doing now? Like I don't want to say successful is that industry, but how stable is that industry now?
You know, I think that it's very stable because of economic times. It's even more stable because of companies downsizing their training and development departments. There was a time when any time an employee needed training, they would send them off to, you know, France or, you know, some other state or whatever in the U.S. or, you know, to travel and do this training. Now, that's really, really cut down a lot with many organizations. They're either doing it in-house or they're turning to the e-learning online modules that they can do right at their desk. So because of economic times, it is a growing trend. You really have to be a writer. You have to have experience in not necessarily what you're going to be writing about, the training course necessarily, but you have to have instructional design experience.
Okay.
What I did was, you know, of course, I've always been a writer. I've written, you know, for books, magazines, newspapers, you know, even starting in high school. So I've always been a writer, but what you have to do is you have to perfect that writing skill. You have to have excellent English and grammar skills. You have to understand the industry standards. You have to be very well versed in many different subjects. What else? You have to learn how to write in different formats. Very conversational is usually the format for e-learning modules.
Mm-hmm.
There's usually a guide that introduces themselves and walks the learner through the material. For user guides, it's very formal. You know, click here, or do this, don't do this. So it's very formal and corporate style. Basically, you don't have to have a degree in instructional design. It's recommended. But if you have a background in writing and training and curriculum design, and you study and take the different seminars offered by the experts out there. For example, I did all of the seminars and took all of the courses and books for Dr. Ruth Clark,
wow,
who is an expert in instructional design and e-learning. So you have to be willing to go the extra mile to make yourself an expert in the field. You cannot, if your English or grammar is bad, you can't write a storyboard for a client and, you know, and submit it and think that they're going to have, you know, you're going to establish credibility.
Well, that's the reality. Everybody should be honing their craft for sure. Now, you being a writer, you mentioned that several times, and we would love to talk to you about your book, From Black Child to Black Woman. What inspired you to write this book?
I guess the inspiration came from a lifetime of experiences and friends and relationships that I had documented over the course of my life. My mom, you know, she always encouraged me to write in a journal, and so I've been doing it since I was little. And every time I had an experience, whether it was mine or somebody else's, I would write it down. If someone told me a funny story, I would write it down. So that collection, you know, inspired me. I also felt like there were some tragedies in my life that I wanted to, you know, get out. So to speak, you know, a cleansing experience.
Well, that takes a lot of discipline. I was just saying that for you to be that diligent in writing down everything, you know, you and I have a lot of parallels in that aspect. I've been writing since I was able to write, and I've been an avid reader of books. And that's partially why I have the book circle, is because I probably in my lifetime read over at least 1,000 books. I think it's probably more, but it's quite up there. When you sat down to write your book, because I'm actually in the process of writing my book, how long did it take you to write your book?
Oh, goodness. Well, believe it or not, there were it was a compilation I had to gather together of pieces of scrap paper and old faded notebooks, and I had a stack of floppy disks.
Wow, floppy disks.
So I actually had to buy a floppy disk drive in order to be able to pull the data.
So you went to the Business Depot to buy this contraption to floppy.
Yes.
I actually had to do a mental check to, what is floppy disk again? Trust me, my book that I wrote when I was 17 that I'm planning on publishing now, I'm going back and I'm thinking, OMG. I actually go and get a floppy disk drive or reactivate my old computer that's sitting in my mother's basement in order to access these files.
Yes, and when you bring it in, it's not going to bring it in clean into Microsoft Word. It's actually going to have a lot of that, you know, the symbols and characters and stuff. So it's a lot of cleanup work that you have to do. So once I compiled all that and I started to, you know, put everything together and organize it, and you know, type it up in Microsoft Word, it was a total of 5 months.
Oh, so it was a total of 5 months. Okay.
Yes.
Well, that's a pretty good time for the book, because obviously you did it in bits and pieces.
I did. It was almost full time, though, at the time, because as you may know, with the consulting business, it can be up and down. You know, there are slow periods.
Yep.
And this happened to be a really slow period. So I took advantage of it, and I got Author House, the publishing company, on board. And I got them to crank it out, you know, expedite it in less than 60 days.
Wow, that's great. Yeah, well, you obviously applied pressure to that neck in order to do that, because 60 days. So you're saying 60 days, that's incorporating the editorial portion, the editorial evaluation, and them actually printing the book.
Yes, that's correct. And I had to work with their graphics department to bring my vision that was in my head to life.
Oh, that's
for the cover.
Well, I love the cover of your book, the little baby, and then it transitioning up to the grown woman. It's gorgeous. It's absolutely gorgeous. And I think that you guys did a really great job in conveying that message. And that's what intrigued me about your book as to why we would definitely have wanted to have you on our program. I was going to say, why don't you tell us more about the book? The character Tara, I want to know more about who she is.
Oh, boy. Well, she's funny and sarcastic and emotional.
Aren't we all?
sharp-tongued.
Mm-hmm. She's a sassy. She's a sassy woman, isn't she?
She's going to tell it like it is, and things that she doesn't understand, she's going to pose to the reader. She's actually speaking to the reader throughout the entire book. So once you read the book, you'll see in chapter one, she's speaking in the language of a child, mispronouncing certain words that she does not understand. And then as she grows up and turns into a teenager, the language gets, a little more grown. And, her language and her perception of what's going on in her life changes as she matures.
For sure.
So it's a lot of fun, and there's a lot of tragedies in there that are not so fun.
Well, I know that I got that from when I did skim over parts and bits and pieces of the book, because obviously you and I were a little pressed for time.
Yeah.
This interview, but what I did realizes that, you know, there's definitely the topics of, you know, difficult. She comes from a loving home, but she also struggles with the grips of, you know, having her siblings addicted to drugs, molestation, rape, you know, broken hearts. And I think all of us women could definitely relate to those funny, emotional, inspirational stories, but also those tragic stories at the same time. It is sad, but I was actually speaking to a woman last night, and she was telling me a little bit of her story. And to know that she did a conference, and the conference was of 500 women, and 350 of those women had been sexually molested or raped in some format. And I know the stats. I used to work on the board of directors for a women's shelter here in the city that I live in, and one in four women.
And most of the time it's from a family member.
Yep, and it's true. And, you know, a lot of it is, it's not so much about going back and saying to that family member, you know, you did this to me, but it's about the healing that needs to take place for that person. You may go back. I think a lot of us, you know, we look at, there was I think it was even when Precious came out, and they were on Oprah, and Monique, I think was on Oprah's show, and she was talking about, you know, well, she had a family member that did this to her. I don't think it's an issue of really confronting the family member, because you may not get what you necessarily want. They may not want to admit it, and that will more infuriate you. It's about how we just have to come to a place of forgiving and letting go. Because at the end of the day, that person, they're sleeping in their bed comfortably, and you're walking around with that bitterness and that anger. And, I'm looking forward to reading your book, because I know it's a story of hope, and I'm hoping that Tara definitely can talk about her journey of transition.
Oh, absolutely. It's a story about hope and survival. You know, us women go through so much. We have so much on our shoulders. We take care of so many different people, and we wear so many different hats that sometimes we forget to take care of ourselves. And make time for us.
Yep.
And so this is a story about hope and survival, and yes, we can, as Obama would say.
As Obama, yes, we can, definitely. It is about a story about hope, and I think I'm so privileged when I meet women like you, Cheryl, that share stories, and you inspire me. It makes the movement that I've created all the more worth it. It just solidifies for me that I made the right decision transitioning into my business. I'm inspired every day by women like you.
Thank you so much.
So what advice would you say to a woman who wants to write a memoir or a book about her life?
You know, I guess, you know, it's all about, they talk about, you know, when you get older, making a bucket list.
Yeah.
I say don't wait until you get too old to finish that bucket list. I've always been, ever since, oh my gosh, I guess it was my early 20s. And I wish I could remember who taught me this concept. It might have been a professor in college, but writing down a timeline and your goals for every 3 years will keep you on track in your life. And I said that before I was 40 years old, I was going to be publishing my book and all of my journal entries and everything else that I wanted to, you know, share with people. And I did it. So I think that it makes it come to life by writing it down.
Yes,
I really do. And I think it's important that every woman, and it doesn't matter, it doesn't have to be a goal such as write a book. It could be, maybe perhaps you want to, get out on your own, or maybe you're trying to, you know, get out of, a bad situation or relationship, or, you know, maybe you're trying to move up in a company or start your own business, or, you know, whatever that goal is, you know, it really comes to life when you write it down.
For sure. It does come to life. I think it's the way that when we do write it down, it's like we're almost speaking that into the universe, and that's the activation factor is what I like to call it. because it holds you accountable. I know, I don't know about you, but there's been years that I've gone back siphoning through stuff, whether I've been moving to a different home. And I come across, like, you have your vision boards or any of the journals or any of the notes that you've written down of your goals. And then it's just, I don't know how you feel, Cheryl, but I find it's remarkable when you actually see your dream come to life, come to fruition.
Oh, absolutely. When I got the copy of the book, my copy for approval, in the mail, I just sat down and started crying because it was surreal to me.
It's surreal, but it's also, people don't, I don't know for you, but I think it's, you're almost like, people don't know the struggle of what it takes to get to that place sometimes.
I only said three words. I did it.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I did it. It's so true. So since you're a published author, you run your own business for the last 16 years successfully, how would you say that it's affected your mind, health, and wealth? Being self-employed, being a published author, now putting your dream, how do you think that it's affected your mindset and your health? And obviously, I know that you're a woman that loves money. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Oh, goodness. Well, I'm definitely more at peace. I can say that mentally. I guess without the drama of corporate America, even though this is a 7 day a week, 13 hour a day job, trying to obtain projects, maintain projects, and make sure that I'm giving the highest level of customer service in the projects that I'm working on, it's still more satisfying than corporate America and working for someone else. So I am more at peace. I have to say, I can't say anything about the wealth. Yes, I am. I do well, but I still have not hit the goal that I set for myself, which actually is 2012. I still have not reached that goal yet. So I have a lot of work to do. I'm still not satisfied.
But you know, at least the operative word is yet, right? It's just speak.
Yes, that's right.
Though they were. And for sure, I think the reason why you probably work many hours, I know that I do, is just you. When you do what you love, it inspires you. You want to almost do more because it's the very thing that allows you to tap into divine inspiration.
Oh, absolutely. I am a creative creature.
Yep.
And so being able to create all of these various training courses on topics that you would not believe. I mean, I have covered so many different topics from every industry and every category imaginable. It just allows me to be creative, and I love what I do. I'm up at 5 a.m. I'm excited. I come into my office, which is actually an extension of my home, and I get my coffee. I get dressed. I'm excited. And I can't wait to get to work.
Oh, well, that's I completely relate to that. One of the things that, just going back to your book, you know, when I was looking through your book, you had a dedication. And I just wanted to just touch upon that. You know, you talk about one of the most tragic experiences from the book was the death of your brothers. If you're comfortable sharing that with our audience, could you elaborate a bit more on that?
Oh, absolutely. My book is dedicated to my two brothers, as well as my aunt. Those were the three deaths that were documented in the book that were actually from my my life. I would have to say, you know, 75% of the book is fiction. But those were actually three experiences that were actually from my life. My brothers got into drugs at a very young age, and then they, you know, died from difficulties from that.
I'm sorry to hear that.
And then my aunt, had a heart condition, and it was a very long, drawn out, death, unfortunately.
So there's a lot of parallels between you and Carol Walker, for sure.
Say that again, I'm sorry.
There's a lot of parallels between you and Tara Walker.
Oh, yes. As far as personal traits and never giving up and never losing hope, absolutely.
Well, I'm glad that by writing this book you found a greater sense of peace. And we wish you all the best in the future. So what's new and happening right now in business and book?
Oh, goodness. Well, with the book, I'm constantly looking for avenues to market and really get the word out. I've done a few virtual book tours, and I've gotten excellent reviews, which I've posted on the website. I'm really looking to get at least 75 to 80% more exposure for the rest of this year as well as 2013. I really want to do a big push. And then as far as the business, projects continue to come in, and I feel blessed that, in these economic times that I'm able to stay busy and service my clients to the best of my ability, and they are all, very pleased. So.
Well, that's great. Well, we want to thank you for being on our show today, and we hope that you will come back in the future to talk more business, love, and lifestyle with us, Cheryl.
Oh, that sounds wonderful. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you once again.
Women's Movement Radio Show on Tuesday nights at 9:30 p.m. with me, your host, Janae Azenstrauss, where we will talk to women all around the world about business, love, and lifestyle. Join us and be a part of a movement of women who are changing their lives by force.
I am so thankful we had the wonderful opportunity to speak with Cheryl. Here is a woman who decided to transition, gained a great business, and the time to finally write her story. Before I leave you this week, ladies, I wanted to share a poem with all of you by Annie Finch. It's called Changing Women. If we change as she is changing, if she changes, we change. If she changes, I am changing. Who is changing? As I bend down to what the sky has sent us, is she changing or the same? I hope this poem makes you think about how we as women are continually evolving. Remember, ladies, we are all one, all every woman. Thank you for listening to Mom's Movement Radio Show today. I'm your host, Janae Azenstrauss. Join me next week here on Tuesday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on WMRN. Lastly, ladies, please know, live to aspire, strive to empower. Join to unite.
Whatever you want, whatever you need, anything you want done, baby, I'll do it naturally. 'Cause I'm every woman.
Every woman.
It's all in me.
You're now listening to WMRN.